Greetings from Polymancer Studios. Welcome to episode 4 of the Dicecast. We hope you enjoy it.
Episode 4, an interview with Tunnels and Trolls creator Ken St. Andre. We're here on the Dicecast with Ken St. Andre, the creator of Tunnels and Trolls. Ken, welcome to the show, and how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. It's the first such show I've ever been on.
This is the first podcast you've ever been on. When I emailed you about this, you sure showed the surprise that people knew your name. Are you accustomed to people like us calling you up and asking you for interviews or talking about your game? I mean, you are the creators of Tunnels and Trolls, and I was just surprised by how modest you were on that topic. I mean, are you the reluctant game designer out there?
I am the creator of Tunnels and Trolls and the designer of the game. I'm really proud right now of the new 7.5 edition that's out from Fiery Dragon. Just sort of an update on a few things from the 7th edition. But the fact is, you know, compared to some big, well-known role-playing game, Tunnels and Trolls is virtually unknown.
That's one question that I had about Tunnels and Trolls. Like, most I know personally about Tunnels and Trolls is an ad that I saw in Dragon magazine way back in the 80s. For people like me who are unfamiliar with Tunnels and Trolls, could you give, like, the short version introduction to it?
Tunnels and Trolls is your classic fantasy role-playing game. Frankly, it was inspired by first edition Dungeons & Dragons. When I first saw Dungeons & Dragons, I only had a chance to read the book for about an hour. I came away thinking, what a great idea. What a terrible way to do it. So I said, where am I going to get 8-sided dice, 20-sided dice? What do they need wisdom for? Why do they have to have extra hit points and hit point dice when, you know, they've got a constitution attribute already? I said, I've got to play this game, but I can't play that game.
Okay.
So I went and made my own.
All right.
And, I mean, for the listeners out there, I mean, your game uses the D6, and also the other thing that was... very different with your game is that it came with solitaire adventures that you could use and create your character, and then as your character gained experience point, use the same characters on another solitaire adventure. I mean, was the playability of your game something that you had in mind when you sort of came up with that format?
I was in the dark back there in 1975. Nobody that I had known had ever done anything like this. I didn't really understand what the Dungeons and Dragons people were. They seemed to be playing miniature games, as far as I could tell, which was not what I wanted to do.
In miniatures was completely out of your interest?
Completely.
Okay.
I did not play miniatures. I didn't come to this from a miniatures background. I knew about them because I knew about games. But it was not something I was ever interested in. I'm still not interested in them.
Well, what background do you have, then?
Comic books, games, science fiction fandom in general.
Okay.
I made up my own games from the time I was a teenager.
When you created Tunnels and Trolls, did you see it continue on for as long as it did, and now it's in the 7th and plus more edition? I mean, it's been along just as old as Dungeons & Dragons itself. And did you think that it would last that long? And are you surprised at how well it's been done over the years?
How can I answer that? I never gave up on Tunnel Patrols. It was my game and my friend's game, and Flying Buffalo was publishing it. And Flying Buffalo wasn't going to quit selling it as long as they had copies in stock. It began to be obvious to me that maybe Tunnels and Trolls was the best thing I had ever done as a writer or a gamer after 5 or 6 years. And so never even really considered stopping or selling out or the end of Tunnels and Trolls. Am I making myself clear? I kind of feel like this. If you believe in something, you'd never give up. It doesn't matter whether you're winning or losing. You haven't lost the game until you quit. I never quit.
Well, speaking of not quitting, are you still involved with developing Tunnels and Trolls in its current edition?
The changes in the 7.5 edition were all mine. We're thinking vaguely about the Chaotic 8th edition. But we have to give them a few years to sell the current one before we hit them with anything new. When I say they, I mean Fiery Dragon and Flying Buffalo.
Yeah, well, Fiery Dragon and Flying Buffalo, that's an interesting question as well. For the longest time, Tunnels and Trolls was being put out by Flying Buffalo, and now Fiery Dragon is involved. Is Flying Buffalo still involved in Tunnels and Trolls, or is there a particular reason why you'd switch?
The Fiery Dragon deal was a deal that they offered to Rick Looms of Flying. When I heard about it, I got involved. The original Fiery Dragon edition was going to turn TNT into a sort of a miniature game. I said, that's not what I was thinking of for the latest edition at all. And Jason Kempton very kindly said, well, we'll do your version too. So did his version and his version. And it's which one is more popular? My version. His version is, stages of miniatures, rules, and special effects. My version is a full-blown version of the original game. I'm not surprised that nobody really has bothered to pick up on the Fiery Dragon version. It's just a little offshoot miniatures game. The real miniatures enthusiasts have big, full-blown games that they've devoted their lives to. They're not likely a little version. And if you did, it would only be a novelty. Whereas the full-blown role-playing game has worldwide support, not a lot, but worldwide support, and is much more fun to play, in my opinion.
Now, your game has a lot of fans, and I've been to a certain website where you are literally worshipped as a god. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I have a website called Trollhalla. It's www.trollhalla.com.
We'll have the URL in the show notes, of course.
And the ancient TNT gamers in Phoenix nicknamed me the Troll God. So when I created that website, I went with the idea that it would be a special log of Valhalla, where the greatest heroes of the trollish world could assemble and feast and have games with each other and just have a good time. So that's what it is.
And you didn't feel upset that they would liken you to a troll by calling you the troll god?
Not at all. It's quite an honor to be troll god for these people.
Yeah, have you ever received any weird fan mail or any fan did anything strange that you would like to share with us?
Are good fans. I do occasionally get a print from them in the mail. It tends to be something in the nature of a Christmas card or a little game that they've seen and they liked and sent it to me, or a magazine, something like that. No, I've never received a dead black rooster in the mail or anything gruesome, grisly, or horrible.
In addition to having created Tunnels and Trolls, you are also a writer. and you're part of several associations. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing on that side as a professional writer?
I'm a member of the Managing Writers of America. I think of myself as probably the least important member of that group. I have published half a dozen short stories professionally, and within the last 2 years, I have published in small press a couple of Tunnels and Trolls novels. If you look for me on Amazon, you'll find my books available there.
Do you have a few titles?
Dragon Child, Just a Thief from Kazan, and the other is called Feathers. Griffin Feathers is the one I'm really proud of.
And is there a particular, like, why do you like that novel better than the other one?
The origin story for Larotra, who is the death goddess, who is the ruler of the monster-controlled empire of Kazan, which is what Tunnels and Trolls features. Probably don't know, but the Dungeons and Dragons things usually have empires and lands mostly controlled by the good kindreds. You play with the dwarves and the elves and the humans and so forth. But in Tunnel Controls, the monster kindreds won the war hundreds of years ago, and they're in control of all the western lands. Humans are second-rate citizens at best. So Griffin Feathers tells the story of the half-orc, half-elf enchantress who created that empire. But he knows that, do you? It's in the chronology in the 7th 5th edition.
Your game was actually known for being the first role-playing game where you could play an orc and maybe one of the non-standard races as a player character. And I guess that's something that you've kept along throughout the various editions.
I did Monsters Mars Metagaming back in about 1978. And that was the first game that really stood the role-playing genre on its head and looked at it from the other side. What would the monster kindreds be like?
Just to finish up, what are the next things that you will be doing in the coming months and up, you know, next year in terms of Tunnels and Trolls and perhaps some new books? Any new books and perspectives?
Actually, I'm right at the end of a creative spree. I've done several things here, and I'm not sure what will come up. Fiery Dragon will be bringing out, I believe, a Tunnels and Trolls supplement pack aimed for Origins, in which some of the adventures that I wrote will be combined with some new material, new spells, new world history, and all of that will happen, you know, around our Origins there. But for my project, I'm sort of in between right now.
Any convention appearances that any of your fans who are stalking you catch you at?
Several. I'll probably go to Origins next summer.
So that's why. Is there anything else you'd like to add just as we wrap up?
Please come see me. Tell the fans that they're welcome at Trollhalla. Come try it. If they like it, they can join and become part of the greatest Tunnels and Trolls gamers in the world.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, and hope you're wishing you best of luck with the new editions of Tunnels and Trolls, and may all your orcs be safe.
We're more in favor of the trolls, really, than the orcs. But I appreciate it. We always are deep delving.
Well, may the trolls be with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Dicecast. On another note, we would like to let you know that our website is finally back up online. It has been a while, but the problems have been worked out. We hope you check us out at www.polymancer.com. Thank you.
That is all the time we have for this episode. You can find out more about who we are and what we do at our website, www.polymancer.com. The official Dicecast website is dicecast.blogspot.com. The podcast can also be subscribed to through the iTunes Music Store. Music for this episode: Fort Minor, Remember the Name, BYFH Remix by Chojin, Violated Instrumental by Technetium, Triple Layer Guitar in E, and Industrial March Beat by Nerowax, were all released under the Creative Commons license. This episode is copyright 2009 Polymancer Studios Incorporated, released under version 3.0 of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative License. This episode may be copied or transferred so long as it is done in unmodified form and as long as due credit is given to the copyright owner. Dicecast is a trademark of Polymancer Studios Incorporated. The word Polymancer is a registered trademark of Polymancer Studios Incorporated. Thank you for listening to the Dicecast.
If you like this show, come on over to rpgpodcasts.com, where you'll find dozens more great role-playing podcasts.